start it.
Hey guys, welcome back to Broken to Barbell. As always, this is Tanner.
This is Sam.
And this is Carly.
And today we have a very special guest with us. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hi guys, this is Katie Quayle. I've been friends with Sam, Carly, and Tanner basically my entire life, and they're awesome and I love the podcast. And I'm happy to be here.
Katie's mom taught me in kindergarten. Who's your kindergartner teacher, Carly?
I can't, Mrs. Anderson. Mrs. I was going to say, I can't even remember.
Who's your kindergarten teacher, Sam?
I don't know. Not,
Ms. Schuster.
Yeah.
Yep.
Katie knows.
Do your parents do that? Like, do parents do that in schools? Like, no, I'm not going to teach my own children.
Yeah. Well, my mom purposefully requested not to have her three daughters in the class. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
At the time, I think there were only two kindergarten teachers, so it was one or the other. So.
Yeah.
Kindergarten. That was a whole lifetime ago.
Casey had your mom too.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's jump right in, shall we?
Yeah.
So Katie, where are you from?
I am born and raised in Emleton, Pennsylvania.
Home of the world's best apple pie.
Or so they say.
I thought it was best.
No, it's worst. But it's crossed out and it says best apple pie.
I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, it's like crossed off, but
yeah.
And then moved to Pittsburgh after school, college, and about a year and a half ago, my husband and I relocated to the Bay Area, California.
That's awesome.
So we've been out there for almost 2 years now.
Yeah. That's cool.
Wow.
What kind of like fitness stuff do you do out in San Francisco?
Right now, I've just been doing a lot of yoga,
mm-hmm.
and I walk every day. We have a dog, and he needs exercise too. So I walk a lot. And I've recently gotten back into just interval training, the video, like the Sean T videos.
Uh-huh.
My body was just like craving more. So I just started doing that like twice a week just to do a little bit extra.
Sean T is my boy.
I know he is.
I talk about him all the time on
Instagram. He has great workouts. It's intense.
It's on YouTube?
No, we have them downloaded on our laptop at home.
Oh, okay.
And so I just play it from there.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I need to... Like, now that I got into yoga down the street, I need to, well, A, it's like all the stretching and stuff like that. Like, I'm excited for that because mm-hmm. that's half the problem when I go to work out. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. muscles hurt. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm excited about that. So when you were living here in Pittsburgh, you kind of went through a tough time yourself. Mm-hmm. And what was that?
My last year of college in 2013, I started just getting really restrictive about food mm-hmm. and really addicted to working out. And it kind of snowballed over time. But after I graduated college in May of 2013, I moved to Mount Washington and started working at the casino. And I worked 3 to 11. It was really rough schedule. I like never saw anybody, mm-hmm. never got to hang out with anybody. I felt really isolated. And I had a lot of stress about the future, like what I wanted to do. I had majored in criminal justice and I realized my last year that I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
And so I felt stuck and the only way to control my situation was through food. And I didn't realize this till later, obviously, but...
In hindsight's 2020.
Exactly. Yeah. So at the time, I was exercising every day. I would maybe give myself one rest day. And then I was... I started counting calories.
Uh-huh.
I would only allow myself... I don't want to throw out numbers, but it was a very low number. Way not enough.
Yeah.
For someone working out like that and working... I mean, I was on my feet 8 hours a day at work.
Mm-hmm.
And just snowballed.
So you were like heavily restricting calories mm-hmm. and you're on your feet all day at work mm-hmm. and you're working out. Mm-hmm. So it turned into, was it a disorder officially? I don't know, because we're noobs on the subject, I think.
That's okay. Yeah. So I was never diagnosed because I never went to a professional.
Uh-huh.
But the woman that helped me kind of crawl my way out of the disorder, we did a lot of research with the DSM-5, which is...
DSM-5? Yeah. I'll make a note.
So that is the, let me see. I have it. Basically, it's just it's the manual that all psychologists use. It has every kind of clinical diagnosis in it, from depression to anxiety to eating disorders. It has all of that, and they update it every few years, so that's why it's the fifth edition. So we did a lot of research on that, and I was kind of self-diagnosed, but I didn't really want to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to classify as having a disorder.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I fell into all the categories. So, yeah. So from May, from graduation in May to August, I had lost like 25 pounds.
Yeah.
And from there, it was just...
Went from there, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners, Katie's a very small person. Like, yeah. She's short. Mm-hmm. So for her to sorry.
Bite
I mean,
sized.
Okay. I mean, like, I'm 5'2". You can't see her right now. But, like, so for her to lose that amount of weight in that amount of time is a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, all of this, I was already in, like, the healthy range. I did sports in high school. I was always like a healthy weight, I think, for my size. And I had no business losing that much weight. So, for me to do that, it was kind of scary looking back. Yeah. So
it's still a lot of weight when you think about mm-hmm. it, yeah. even yeah. in general.
For anybody.
Like, yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's, especially on a small frame person too, mm-hmm. it's everything.
So, I'm like trying to rack my brain for that time period, and I can't remember if I noticed it or not. But
I have I noticed. We went to the bar in Clarion. It was in the winter time sometime, and I remember you coming. And I was like, oh my god, I don't even recognize her, and I've been friends with you forever. Mm-hmm. So it was like one of those moments. I was like, oh, I think something might be going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's when I know. I think you were actually there too. We were all
maybe.
Home.
I don't remember.
You came in and yeah, I was like, it didn't even look the same.
Did like your family reach out or did they notice or say anything or your husband? Was he your fiance at that period?
Yeah. So at the time, Dustin and I were engaged. And it was one of those things. I went through this weird time where I was very, like, I was like, okay, I'm this age, I have to do this. I'm this age, I have to do this. And I think it's thrown at us from such a young age that you hit a certain milestone and you have to be this level.
You gotta go
you're
to
not
the next
being
step.
Successful.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, we're together. We really love each other. Let's get engaged. Let's get married. And definitely was not the right time for us at mm-hmm. all. So we lived together that summer. We didn't see each other because he worked a regular 8 to 4 and I would go to work at 3. And so it was like we were kind of roommates by the end of the summer.
Yeah.
So in September that year, we kind of sat down and I was like, listen, like, I'm miserable at my job. I think I need to quit. And so that was my first step. I went in and I quit in September. And then we talked a little bit more. We mutually decided to call off the engagement. And then a couple weeks later, I moved back home to Emlinton with my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all happened so quickly. But it was, like, the best decision I could have made. But when I went home in September, I had moved all my stuff. I think my parents definitely did notice. But they kind of tiptoed around it because they didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure how to approach it because that's not – I mean – it's common. Eating disorders are common, but like when it happens to you or your family member, it's like, wow, like what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you say? Mm-hmm. How do you bring it up?
Exactly.
Well, I think just in the broader spectrum to mental health in general, like
yeah.
how do you talk about it at all? You know, yeah. and that mm-hmm. covers that whole spectrum, you right. know, like how do you say stuff?
Well, I feel too, like until recently, mental health has been so stigmatized as like
mm-hmm.
such a bad negative thing. And it's not, and it should be talked about, you know, and it should be, you know, people should be educated that if whatever you're going through, it's okay. And it's, you know, you're not alone.
I think the untold, like the not so secret is like everyone suffers from it mm-hmm. on some level of the Absolutely. Spectrum, you know, mm-hmm. like everyone has a brain. So they all have mental things that they have to deal with, you know,
and like, everyone thinks so it's like, yes. and not everyone has positive thoughts. So that's mm-hmm. the thing. Yeah. It's literally that simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's not like black and white. There's a gray area for everyone involved.
So where were you working at that time then once you moved back home?
So once I quit at the casino and I moved home, I didn't work for a couple weeks. I kind of just got settled And I was really thinking I wanted to do this, like, road trip, this, like, U.S. road trip. And I just wanted to drive. And I didn't really have a destination. I just wanted to go. I wanted to get out of my situation. And I feel like that was just because I felt so isolated and so alone for so long.
Yeah.
That summer that I was just like, I need to get away from here. But at the same time, I had – my dad works for the state and at one of the prisons. And – he was like, hey, there's an opening for a clerk typist job, very intro level.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I think you should apply. And I was like, okay, I mean, why not? It's kind of in my criminal justice background. So I was like, I might as well. So I went in for an interview and I ended up getting the job. Mm-hmm. And so I started there in November of 2013.
Okay.
So between, I mean, it was like 2 months. I was just like getting my shit together. Yeah. Basically. So...
And so then once you at work, you started to make friends and stuff like that. So did you kind of, when things were bad, did you find somebody to help you in a support system there? Like, did you make a friend or anything like that?
So, so my boss, I ended up getting the clerk typist position for the medical department there in the prison. And my boss, she won't care if I say her. Her name's Kim. And it's so weird because I remember going into the interview that day and she was in the interview panel. And I remember right away we connected like instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like I'd known her my whole life. It was very strange.
In the interview?
In the interview.
That's cool.
Yeah. So once I got hired, I figured out she was going to be my boss. I was like, this is cool. Like, I feel like we're going to get along really well. So... little by little, we would talk every day. And over a few months, you know, I started opening up to her about, you know, my habits. And we would go to lunch together. And she would notice, because I'd go to the salad bar. And I would count how many cherry tomatoes I would put on my plate, because I'd make a salad every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put, like, a certain number of cucumber, a certain number of tomatoes, because I knew how many calories were in everything. So I would count. And then I'd go back to the table. And she picked up on this. She's a very smart woman.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so slowly but surely we started talking and I kind of opened up to her about it. And she was a nurse for, like, over 20 years. So mm-hmm. she has a history of taking care of people. And so, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's good that you, in that, you know, moment, kind of just found a good support system.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes family doesn't know what to say. And
exactly.
Honestly, sometimes might not be the right people to say it, you know. So
yeah.
That's cool that you found her and were able to go through that. Was there like a moment for you that you just, like, the lights clicked and you're like, okay, we got to do something about this for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a slow burn?
So I would say January of 2014 was probably like the rock bottom for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was at my lowest weight. And I just remember thinking, like, if this is all that life has for me, then I just don't want to be here anymore. Like, I can't keep living like this. You know, and so I just, yeah, I went through it a couple weeks and then I started realizing, well, maybe I do have, like, maybe there is something wrong here. And I started Googling, like, eating disorders and different things. And I was like, wow, like, I hit all the criteria and I didn't even realize it, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like in that I kind of came around and was like, okay, it's like I can choose one way or I can choose a different way. And it's like there's no in between because I can't keep this up.
Yeah.
So
did you talk to – you went to Kim then and talked to her about it? Mm-hmm. Or how did – I because I know she helped you with everything. Mm-hmm. So like what – how did that all go down?
So after – I would say probably in February – we were close enough that I felt comfortable talking to her about everything. And we would have some free time every morning usually. And I would go in her office and we would just sit down and we would talk. And, she was like my counselor. Uh-huh. Basically. But she was someone I could confide in that I trusted. If I wouldn't have had that, I don't know, you know, I would have had to seek professional help because, and I'm not saying, like, she's not a professional in any way, but she knew what was going on, and she knew me so well at that point that she kind of knew how to handle what was going on. And
yeah,
she kind of just steered me in the right direction. And
What did you do? Like, what was the right direction for you?
So we did a lot of research together, and we found it's pretty popular. It's called the mini mod, like method or something like that.
Mini mod method. I want to look it up.
Excuse me.
No, you're fine.
And
do you need water? I can.
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just basically like how to refeed someone.
It's yes. It's a yes for me, dog.
It's a yes for water. It's just a basically it's a way to refeed someone that's underweight.
Okay.
And it's through a bunch of like research that was done in a long time ago, a few decades ago, and so we just approached it from that. We kind of started small. She's like, you need to add, or we need to add like just add 100 calories to your day. And so I would do that for a couple weeks, and then we'd add like 100 more. And you know, whether this was the right method or not, like it worked for me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying this is how everyone should go about it, or like, you know, but because she's not a professional like eating disorder counselor or anything like that. Yeah. But it was just something that worked for me.
Is that something they do for people? She was a nurse. Mm-hmm. So was that something they do for people who are like malnourished or something that come into the hospital?
From what I can remember, yeah, you do it very slowly.
Uh-huh.
Because if you do it very quickly, it can be very detrimental to the health of the person that's underweight. So we did it very slowly. And also for the mental, like there's no way I can mentally intake. Like the thought of intaking 200 extra calories a day was just like, no, I like that was just so crazy to me. Like I could not even.
I think a lot of people don't understand with like eating disorders is like, oh, you can't just tell someone just eat more. Like, that's not how it works.
No.
So well, like,
it's like telling a depressed person, just be happy. Yeah, you know, exactly. It's like, no. Or like anxiety. It's like, don't stress out about that. And it's like, but no, it's like hardwired that I'm going to stress out about.
Mm-hmm. And then at that point you're like, oh, it's just easier to restrict. So I'm just going to do that. So,
yeah.
Well, and that's just it. Like, with eating disorders and like anything, it's not about the eating disorder, you know, that's mm-hmm. just, it's something else underneath, you know, it's not the eating disorder. That's the problem. And it becomes so ingrained in your patterns and your habits. It becomes so ingrained in your head that it's like, To step outside of that is so scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started this, I was terrified because my biggest fear was to gain weight, and that, you know,
it tied into the body image.
Exactly. And I remember New Year's Eve in 2013, I distinctly remember my mom and I had made Christmas cookies like we always do every year. And I was home and I had like maybe two, and I think that had put me over my calories for the day. And so I remember I spent like 2 hours walking on the treadmill after my workout on New Year's Eve. And
because of the, because of the cookies. And it was like the punishment almost, uh-huh. like self punishment.
Yeah. I ate. Wow. And so I had to punish essentially you had to punish yourself and burn the extra calories off.
I did
not want to gain weight.
It sounds exhausting, and it probably was, you know, it was because then now you're on a treadmill for 2 hours, you know, just like mm-hmm. making up or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
And that's when I reached that point in January. I was like, I can't, I was like my physically, I was falling apart. Mm-hmm. Mentally. I was like, that's the, you know, it was, and emotionally I was just, I felt like half alive all the time.
Okay.
In kind of in a fog all the time.
Well, I can imagine after spending all that time, quote unquote, alone, you know, mm-hmm. you're doing your own schedule and all that stuff,
right.
You know, and then being home alone with your parents, which is always, I feel half alive when I'm home at weekends. Sometimes my parents, I'm sorry, mom and dad.
Well, and
it's like the winter time, like
very depressing time. Yeah. You know, it's dark and gloomy. And, but the thing about eating disorders, and it could be like this for a lot of different, mental health conditions, is that you don't want to be around people. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to be around, you know, if I texted Sam, you know, it'd be like once in a blue moon. Like I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to do anything. I was scared around social situations because calories are usually involved, either at the bar or at a party with food.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me so much anxiety that I did not even want, I just avoided it.
Yeah.
Completely. So.
Yeah. I can sympathize with that. It's like, I just want to stay home and watch Netflix tonight.
Well, that's how I feel with the drinking thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like don't do hardly anything because I'm like, no, I'm not afraid I'm going to drink, but I just don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. You're just, yeah, don't want to be. Well, it's easier not to be around it. Yeah. You know, in a situation like that too. But. Yeah.
And also back to recovery, and recovering from anything is amazing. You know, like Carly, you've been sober now for almost a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
Like that's incredible. And it just, it takes so much mental strength to do something like that. But the thing that sets eating disorders apart from, you know, an addiction to alcohol or drugs or anything, you can't just avoid food. Like you can't just cut off food. Like it has to be part of the recovery. And that's like a double-edged sword, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to recovering.
I was wondering this the other day. Do you think it's something that you ever fully recover from? Or it's something that you sometimes still have to check in with and make, you know, I was just curious how you feel, you know?
I mean, it definitely takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with each passing month, you know, each day even, it becomes a little bit better. Some days are better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, over time, it definitely, for me at least, it's gotten easier. And I think it's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, after you live so much life life after eating disorder is just like you're reborn almost. So life after an eating disorder is just like this amazing, you're like rediscovering the world and it's like, it's so fun and so new and so fresh. And you're like, wow, how did I do that to myself for so long?
Right? Yeah.
So each year that passes since, that was 2014. So it's been, you know, 4 years. It's something that's completely in the back of my mind now.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, there are some days where I'll be like, well, I think anybody has good, like, physical days where you're just like, oh, I feel bloated and eh. And then other days where you're like, wow, I feel great today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's normal.
So was that, with all of that, the eating disorder stuff, did that also, so it was like just like a hyper, it was like a body image thing too?
Oh, totally.
Because one of the things here is something like the mirror, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, do you, you know, was that like a thing, like yes. the mirror and the,
mm-hmm. yeah, I would do, and I've seen them be called body checks.
Okay.
And it's basically where one day you would take a picture in the mirror, multiple from different angles. And then you would check in, essentially, like, the next day and the next day and the next day. And you just, like, I would just look at pictures of myself and be like, oh, that looks fatter. That looks fatter. And then it's such a mind game. It's crazy. But, yeah, the mirror was, like, my worst enemy.
Because there
was always something.
I quit weighing myself at the gym because it's, like, okay, realistically, and, like, with Carly, with you and powerlifting, like, if I'm going to be like on top of this and eating the right food and lifting weights, I need to stop looking at my weight, you know, because it's like, hypothetically, it's going to stay the same, potentially grow. Like, so I, you know, I just, and this is where I got to check myself in with myself is like a guy weighs 220 pounds and looks like a Greek god. You know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. and then I'm sitting over here like, oh, I need to lose weight. Like, what, why am I doing that to myself? So like I was like, it's just going to, and I was like, literally like, I didn't do it for like a month and a half, but then we had like a wellness check-in and I had to do it at work. So I was like, well, whatever. Now I know, I guess. But it was like, it made me feel a lot happier and more interested in going to the gym and eating healthy because like, then it's like, I know I'm doing the right thing. Who cares what that number is, you know?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
I don't know if that makes sense.
So but. Like with the powerlifting thing, my last meet was my first meet, so I didn't know how to approach it, so I was like super hard on myself with the diet. And if I would have something I wasn't supposed to have, I wouldn't have pizza, but like if I would have like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what I would have. I think I had like a pepperoni roll the one day. I immediately made myself throw it up. I'm like, I can't be eating that in my prep, like that's not allowed.
Yeah.
So like thinking like that, I'm like, first of all, I'm in the super heavyweight class, so I didn't even have to get to a certain weight. I was just afraid.
But you got in your head about it.
I was afraid of the people at the meet seeing my weight on the screen, like in pounds. So I'm like, I don't want them to see how much I actually weigh, even though I know they know I'm above 198. But this meet prep, I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to follow my diet loosely and not beat myself up.
And do you feel happier about like that too? Like, I know you were eating like eggs every day and you hated it.
Yeah, so I'm still doing that, but I've added things. So like, yeah. Now I have like mushrooms in my eggs, so they're not as disgusting.
Oh, you couldn't even do that before? You couldn't add
I
vegetables?
I probably could have, yeah. Oh. But it got so bad where I was like, my nutritionist never said, like, don't have more than one cup of coffee. But I was like, okay, I'm only having one cup of coffee a day.
Oh, okay. You self-restricted.
You know what I mean? So then it was like, on top of the already hard bodybuilding meal plan, I was like, let's see what else we can cut out. Yeah. And, like, I told myself I wouldn't go out to eat. So I didn't do anything for, like, 4 months.
I'm really bad at, like, drinking and then eating terrible food or, like, binge eating. Like,
yeah.
Like at a party or something or, like, a holiday. Like, that's where I'm always my worst.
Yeah.
Well,
so with your disorder, or if you want to call it a disorder, yeah, your situation, mm-hmm. I have a friend that was anorexic, and she said, like, when she'd do the picture thing too, and when mm-hmm. she looked at them, she felt like she looked like she was her biggest, mm-hmm. even though looking at her, she was, like, real thin. So did you feel... I know you said, like, oh, I look fat here, but, like, even looking in the mirror, were you so, like, did you have such a mental fog that it was just like, oh, I look terrible at all times?
You don't see it at all. Body dysmorphia is completely real. I mean, even in a healthy person, you could say that to yourself, but with the eating disorder, yeah, it was definitely way worse. Because, yeah, you don't see what other people see, and mm-hmm. and other people, if they would speak up. I remember my dad one time, I was on the treadmill, go figure, and he goes, Kate, why, I don't understand, like, you look anorexic, like, why are you working out? And I was just like, Dad, and I would get upset if someone said something to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not anorexic, like, I'm just working out. And you don't realize, like, how crazy your behaviors are and all the habits that you've created. And they knew firsthand, they were living with me. So
yeah,
they would see me work out every day or twice a day. And yeah, it was,
I don't know how well they handled or how sensitively they handled the topic, but I know American Dad did an episode like that. And, and Stan, the dad, thinks he's like obese and stuff. And then it like cuts finally. And he's literally, you know, he's like really thin and stuff. And he had like an eating disorder. It's probably really insensitive, but but I just remember that episode and that feeling. Because, I mean, I think it's funny. Well, especially with drinking, too. Like, you get the next day, like, crappy feeling, you know? And, like, you can just look in the mirror and be like, oh, I'm fat, da da da. And literally, like, the next day, because you drank water and are, like, breathing again, you're great. And it's probably literally, you know, it is literally exactly the same as yesterday. You know, my brain is just in a different spot.
Well, you know? The human body changes every single day.
Yeah.
Because of digestion, and for women especially, I mean, your body goes through so much every day in these monthly cycles. And so to look the exact same as you did the day before, it's just like not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Carly, going back to what you said about the meal prep, like I totally understand, but like with when you're training for stuff, and that it can become such a slippery slope. And I think that's where a lot of women and men, mm-hmm. they fall into it because they create these rules for themselves and they're restricting things. And it's not how you would normally live your life because you're preparing for this big competition. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like especially with, you know, our social media age, seeing others and what they're, you're like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be looking like this.
I unfollowed people with abs.
And
I feel like I can't do it to myself. You know,
for your mentality to think like that. And, but yeah, it can be a very slippery slope. So for anyone like meal prepping or, competing, just do it healthily and in a mindful way, because that's
definitely do your research before you get in. Like even the bodybuilding thing, bikini competitions, mm-hmm. it's 100% not healthy.
Yeah.
But I've done research for the last 2 years. I know what I'm getting myself into, and I'm doing it like in a healthy way, obviously, mm-hmm. with a person who knows what they're doing. But like people that try to do it themselves, that's how they get into that slippery like slope of restricting and stuff.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's probably extremely restrictive because
you
can't, you probably have like a 1% body fat, mm-hmm. so like you can't even sniff a Reese's cup because it might have fat in it or something.
But yeah, but when food becomes the enemy and when you're afraid of food, that's when you know, like, okay, I need to reevaluate something.
Check back
because
in.
Because food is not supposed to be, you know, you're not supposed to fear food.
Yeah.
You know, in any means. So.
So you kind of hit that moment and you started to get better. Mm-hmm. And you had called off the engagement and everything. Mm-hmm. So you kind of started to come back from that. And then, but you ended back up with Dustin. So how did you guys get back into that?
Okay. So starting in February of 2014, and I started, you know, going through recovery, and recovery is a very long process. And your body literally has to repair itself from the inside out,
mm-hmm.
On a cellular level. So it's a very long process. And I remember in like 2 months, I'd gained 40 pounds back. And if you can just imagine, like, that's a lot of weight for anyone, in that short amount of time. And, I think a lot of it, is water retention, because your body is healing itself. So a lot of it was water weight, but it was a lot. So that was mentally taxing too.
Yeah.
From going from this weight to this weight and so quickly. But, so that whole summer I was, you know, I was recovering and working out and working and
just doing your thing,
becoming more social. Yeah. And, in August of 2014, one of my favorite bands, it's my dad and I's favorite band. They were going to be at Stage AE here in Pittsburgh. And so I was like, Dad, we should go. Like, we love Chevelle. That's what they're called. And I was like, I'm going to get us tickets. We're going to go.
Yeah.
And so I was like, really excited for it. So we drove down one day after, I think it was like a Thursday night. It was random, but one night after work, we drove down and, we got there and we were just like hanging out like before the show. And I walk over, or I look over, and Dustin's like walking over to us and he's like, hey guys. And he's just like randomly at the show. We hadn't talked at that point for like, well, I had run the half marathon that May. And I think we checked in, cause he also ran. So we checked in that day and I was like, hey, how was the half marathon for you? And he's like, good. And I was like, good. And then that was basically it.
Yeah.
So from May to August, we didn't talk. And, so it was just really surprising to see him there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got him into that band. So I maybe thought he would be there. But I didn't really think much past that.
Oh, he might be here, but I probably won't see him, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, Stage AE, it can hold a lot of people. So, he was just like, hey, and we just like started talking and like shooting the shit, and him and my dad were talking, and it was just like so normal and so natural. And it was like, we didn't like miss a beat at all. And then, we just started talking after that and hanging out. And, shortly after that, we like moved in together, and February 2015, we got our own place in the North Hills, and
just took it slow from
there.
Took
it slow. Yeah. And it's just,
That's cool. And then obviously you followed him to California. So
yeah, I did. Well, I wanted to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, totally, I'm sure you really were like fighting that one.
Yeah.
So like, well, I'm happy that things, you know, they took time and you put the time in, and I'm happy that things for you got better. You know, that's awesome.
Thanks.
Like, do you have advice for young people? Well, any people going through that, men, women, young, old, like facing something like an eating disorder.
Oh yeah. It's really tough. And when you're in it, it's hard to hear advice and really hear it.
To
so,
see it.
I would say to anybody, just really understand to your core, like, you are not alone. Like, you are not in this alone. You're never alone. Like, you have people all around you that love you and care about you, and just find one person that you connect with that you can trust, and just talk to them, and just get whatever is going on in your head, just get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And just sometimes verbalizing things is really, really helpful. So just, find a support system and,
talk. Yeah.
Don't hide. I know it's like what you want to do is just, you don't want to see people, but you have to find a support system and just trust the process, because like I said, recovery is a very long process. So just trust your body, because your body knows better than anything, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, there has to be something. I bet there's some sort of online thing too, that might be anonymous or something, you know, like,
I can, the eating disorder, here. So let me just do this real quick.
Cause I can put that in the show notes where we, you know, what kind of online resources, stuff you can go to. I'm sure there's tons if you just Googled it too.
Yeah. So I really always liked the National Eating Disorder Awareness group.
Okay.
And, or not awareness, I'm sorry, National Eating Disorders Association. And they have a toll-free confidential helpline, and it's 1-800-931-2237. And they have so many, they have screening tools, and they have so many different, like where do I start? Like, how
different
do I do
resources.
This? Different resources that you can find that is just something to help.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to check it out just out of sheer interest and see what all they have. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, and I am, yeah, they were helpful for me. I did a lot of my research on their site. And back to the counseling thing, there's a service I used personally. It's called BetterHelp. And it's an app. They match you with a counselor based on like what you're going through, whether it's depression, anxiety, eating disorder. They'll find someone that's specialized in that area, and they'll match you with a counselor. And you can message them, like texting, and you can set up like FaceTime calls with them too.
So does that cost money?
Yeah, it's let me think how much it was. I believe $35 a month.
That's not bad.
And it's for, I mean, it's unlimited. So think of how much you would pay for one session. You know, if you need to, you know, pinch pennies a little bit, it's a great resource.
I was actually talking with my therapist at my last appointment, and so they'll usually do it through your health insurance and stuff. And I forget how much he said my sessions technically were, but thankfully my health insurance pays for so many sessions a year. But most of them will work with people based on their income too, if they can, you know, to work something out, because, you know, it's not really a social service, it's a health service, but you know, they want to help people, at least the good ones, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And that's what, I mean, that's what good health care should be.
Yeah.
It should not be about the money.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Agreed. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Yeah. I have many things to say about that. So now out in the Bay Area, what do you like to do to stay healthy now? You're active with your dog, you're active with yoga. What else do you do? Or what kind of yoga you do, things like that?
So I practice vinyasa yoga, or vinyasa flow.
What does that mean?
So it's basically, vinyasa is just a type of yoga that derives from hatha yoga, which is like all of the yoga.
Yeah.
So, you know, vinyasa, there's Ashtanga, there's Iyengar, there's different lineages from different teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also under that, there's different branches. So like vinyasa derives from Ashtanga, for example.
Okay.
Same as like hot yoga or whatever. But
what makes them different? Like what changes them? You know, why are they differentiated like that?
So Ashtanga and Iyengar, so BKS Iyengar was a teacher that came over to the West from India, and he was very alignment based. Mm-hmm. And that's what his school, basically, they're very alignment focused, where Ashtanga is, it's a series of, and that was Sri Pattabhi Joyce, who was the teacher and had founded Ashtanga Yoga. And it's a series, if you hear like Ashtanga primary series and secondary series, and it's a fixed set of poses that make it specifically Ashtanga. And there are specific Ashtanga schools. Now, under Ashtanga is, you know, vinyasa flow and like hot yoga, any of the like more modern ones that you see.
Okay.
It comes down from that.
Okay.
Okay. So like probably at the yoga studio you go to, it's probably vinyasa flow. And that's
I
just
look it up again.
Vinyasa is it does what you think it does. It you flow from one pose to the next.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Ashtanga is very like you move, you do one pose, then you go to another pose. Like there's no like flowing to it.
Yoga flow is the name of the place. So I had to look it up.
So yeah, teachers in vinyasa flow try to do their best to sequence the class to flow smoothly and like very fluidly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. It's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're also vegan too, right?
I am vegan.
Interesting.
2 years.
That's wow, really?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's I visited Katie out in the Bay Area a couple times, and we always go to all sorts of new, interesting, or at least you take me to ones you've been to, maybe. Mm-hmm. But
oh yeah,
that's I love them. Honestly, like it's especially out there. I don't know what it's like here in Pittsburgh.
There's it's a up few and coming, places, actually. But yeah, it's getting better.
But out there, there's some like really good places. Yeah. I like the fast food vegan place we went. That was
Which
really
one
good.
Was that?
It had all the green
Veganburg.
Veganburg, is that what it was? Yeah, it's because it only wasn't like Taylor Swift part of it or something or owned it or some weird. I don't know why. I'm thinking that. Maybe not.
Maybe I'm thinking
that
of a different
like something.
There's,
Vegas.
So, there's not a short of vegan restaurants out there though.
Yeah. Well, that was the first time I came to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That was the time we went to that place. So,
okay. Yeah.
The Clarion Walmart is just now getting vegan cheese. So.
Ooh.
That's impressive. I'm actually very impressed by that.
Yeah.
Do they have vegan like burgers?
They have like black bean burgers and stuff, but you just have to be careful of the like what's their binder and stuff like that.
You definitely have to read the ingredients because some veggie burgers do use egg.
Yeah.
That's I hate black bean burgers with like passion.
I love black beans. I'll
really?
Just eat them out of the
Same.
Can.
Oh my gosh.
Funny story, back in college I used to make black bean brownies when like Pinterest was real big and I was like, oh my god, black bean brownies, those sound good. And I would make them for Dustin and he'd like choke them down and be like, mmm, these are great. And he hated it so much, but he'd like throw so much peanut butter on them just to like eat them.
Dustin vegan also?
No. So I'm gonna put this in quotes. He's an aspiring vegetarian.
Hey, that's me. That's perfect.
So we eat he eats what I make at home. We don't eat meat at home. Mm-hmm. He'll buy like cheese and stuff. He'll eat vegetarian and eggs. But when we go out, if we go to a restaurant that offers like meat options, he'll sometimes pick a meat option. That's fine.
An aspiring vegetarian. I love it.
Yeah, but he's really trying his best because I threw some scientific facts at him about, you know, especially like environmental, but also like what it does to your body kind of thing. And he's like, oh, that's interesting. And so I think... You know,
you're getting there slow but sure.
But I'm not one of those people that are going to push my views on others. You do whatever you want, basically, but just do it knowing all sides of the story.
Isn't it like if you throw away an egg, you waste like 55 gallons of water or something like that? 50
well,
gallons.
I don't remember the exact number, but
it's a ton
eating
of water.
A burger is a eating producing one burger takes as much water as like 50 showers, I want to say.
Oh, God.
Because of the water
that the cow,
the beef needs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So as far as water and agricultural is the number one cause of greenhouse gases. And you're not going to hear that because they don't want you to know that.
Yeah.
But it's not cars. If you watch, there's a great documentary on Netflix. There's What the Health, and they go into your health reasons to go vegan, what it, you know, meat and cheese does to your body. And then there's another one. And I'm blanking on it. It's the same director, but I'm blanking on what it's called.
Look it up.
I'm trying to think of Netflix ones. There's like Food Inc. is a bad one.
That is it.
That's it.
Yeah.
I want to see Food Inc. That's the one I know of.
Yeah, I started it.
They go into the agricultural and they show a chart on the documentary and it's like agricultural CO2 emissions are like way, way high. And then really small beside it is like from cars.
Cowspiracy?
Oh, that's it.
That's
I'm sorry.
It. Yeah.
There's
but
too
I
many.
I want to see.
Cowspiracy and Food Inc. are the same director. And they're both very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says
the
here,
Food Inc. one really made me like stop and look at how they treat chickens.
Because
like that's such a huge part of my meal plan is like chicken, turkey, beef. Mm-hmm. But the whole chicken thing, like Purdue, which is like what I get if I get my chicken at Giant Eagle or something, I'm like,
yeah.
And then I start watching Food Inc. and I'm like,
did you see,
I need to go clean my fridge out.
Did you, it's too late now. You've already bought it. Did you see, it was a Chipotle short film about like a scarecrow. It was several years ago at this point. I love that little short film. It's
what
so
is
cute.
It?
I'll look it up, but it's a short film that Chipotle did about factory farming. And it's a little animated film. It's good. Unfortunately, it was to advertise their fucking app and not actually do anything about fucking factory farming.
Well,
so
they say that they have
they as a company do
farms that they get yeah. their stuff from.
But it was, it would have like been so much better if there was like a call to action to like sign a petition against factory farming or something. But no, it was download our app on the App Store.
The whole thing about, you know, there's no way to humanely slaughter an animal.
Yeah.
So like on packaging, they'll be like humanely slaughtered. And I'm like, it's still slaughtered. But, like I was saying though, I'm not someone to push my views. As long as you educate yourself and you know what you're putting in your body and the effects that it can have, that, okay, that's as much as I can do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm doing my part being vegan on myself and I don't have to make anybody else see that way.
Feel that.
So, yeah.
Do you think, I mean, what do you think, how did you start? Like what, what's a good place to start if somebody wants to start that kind of dieting or eating? It's probably, that's not a diet. That's like a lifestyle change,
it is.
You know?
Yeah. It's just, you know, a way of living. And, so let me think, this was 2015, fall of 2015. I was doing a little bit more research. I actually worked with a guy that was vegan, him and his girlfriend. And we would talk a lot and he would influence my thoughts and like, this is interesting. And I remember distinctly, I said to him, I could never be vegan. And, you know, it's so interesting. I feel like all vegans say that at one point. But yeah, so that fall, I cut out meat completely. I was like, I'm not eating meat anymore. And I did that for about 6 months. And during those 6 months, I would still eat, you know, Quest bars and because whey and cheese and eggs and...
I love cheese. That's
See, I was never big on cheese.
That's what I feel like. I was like, I could never be vegan, as you say that. But then I'm like,
they have some amazing vegan cheeses now.
I'll
but
have to try
the
it.
Hardest for me was eggs because I love omelets. Like omelets are like my jam, and like avocado toast is millennial as it is to say that. Like I love avocado toast with like an over easy egg on top. But so yeah, I did that for about 6 months, and then April of 2016, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna do it. I like cut out all animal products then from April 2016 on, I've just
gone with it.
Yeah, but it's definitely, it took a while. I mean, 6 months.
That avocado toast is why you don't own a house.
I know. Well, that and the mortgages in the Bay Area are asinine. Yeah. So,
but mostly it's the avocado toast.
Yeah, mostly.
So do you, I want to go back to yoga for a second. I will go down through our questions because I think there are some really good ones.
Yeah.
Like, do you think anyone can enjoy yoga?
Absolutely.
And gain things from yoga?
Absolutely. Yes. Yoga is not a one size fit all model. It's for anyone, any body type, any age, any race, any gender. Anyone can benefit from yoga. And most people get into yoga for the purely physical aspect of it. For myself, I went to yoga because I had been working out for so long. I was like, I physically need a break. And I feel like yoga is the perfect way to give myself that break.
Yeah.
And so I downloaded Yoga Glow. It's the app I use. And it's so funny. My tattoo artist, Jessie Churchfield, she's the one that told me about it.
Oh, okay.
Because she used Yoga Glow. And so I was like, okay, this is cool. She's like, check out Stephanie Snyder on Yoga Glow. She has some really good classes on there. I was like, okay. And so I started taking Stephanie's classes. And really loved it. I would pencil in like yoga in my planner like 4 days a week. And then I would cut down my workouts to like 2 days a week. And it worked for me. So I was really enjoying it. And I had never done yoga at a studio. I just practiced at home. But I was like, there's definitely something to this. But I feel like, anyone can benefit, if not just physically, mentally.
I remember like the few yoga classes I've done. I remember the one time you're doing the hip opener, and I'm literally like sitting there, like steaming, like mad at the yoga instructor. And then she says, she's like, a lot of you are probably feeling feelings of anger right now. And like, and I was like, oh,
okay. Why are you so mad?
Cause it hurt.
Oh.
So I was just like, oh God. Like, so I had to, but the mental thing, cause then you, get rid of, Just breathe out, you know, like breathe out through it. And
yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's fine. I just, you know, that the negative thing I was kind of bringing into it. But then I feel like the positive part of yoga is the relaxation and like the not focusing on the mental thoughts, mm-hmm. the negative mental thoughts, you know?
Well, there's something profoundly powerful about connecting the body to the breath. And I feel like, you know, most of us in this society, this culture, we're just go, 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 go all the time. And when do you ever stop and just hear yourself, feel yourself breathing, you know? So to take time out of your day to hear yourself and feel yourself breathing and connecting your movements to your breath, it's very powerful and it's very relaxing. It's so good for your brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you only have a minute out of your day to do breathing exercises, do that. I feel like people think they need to go to the yoga studio for 90 minutes and that's yoga. Like you can, sometimes my practices at home are 10 minutes and that's all I need to just be like, okay, I'm good.
Check back in, you know, like come
just
back
feel
to center.
Ground yourself and I'm good to go. I can go on with the rest of my day.
So it's definitely got the spiritual aspect to it too, you know, the kind of the mentality, but then connecting with your body and that probably lends itself to like nature, you know, the world, you know, because you take that moment to come back instead of, I don't know, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So when you practice for, and we have a term for it in yoga, it's in yoga traditionally was taught in Sanskrit. It's a language out of India.
Mm-hmm.
And in traditional, like ancient times, yoga was taught by word of mouth. There was no written yoga. And teachers would pass it down to their students would pass it down and pass it down. And so Sanskrit is still used, and that's why I love Stephanie's teachings, because she still teaches in Sanskrit and she upholds the
tradition, or
the tradition, and just how powerful it is to teach,
the
because
values.
The vibrations of the sounds that come out of, you know, using Sanskrit. I think I lost my train of thought.
Just the spiritual connection
with
your body too. Physical connection.
The Sanskrit word for dedicated practice over a long period of time is called abhyasa. And that's, if anything, it's important to have a dedicated practice over a long period of time, because then you start to realize like you're on this path of self-awareness and self discovery, and yoga just, it helps in a way that no words can really describe it.
Yeah.
I
just like a weird connection, like Carly's abhyasa for powerlifting, you know,
exactly
this long-term kind of
dedicated practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, and you're like learn stuff about yourself and like all that kind of stuff. I was like, that's
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, and that's what Stephanie, my teacher, she always says too, like dig one hole deeply for water. Don't dig multiple little small holes because you'll never reach water. So dig one hole deeply and you'll reach water.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a question.
Uh-huh.
Did you go on a trip to either, like, did you get training for yoga or did you just go to do yoga? Didn't you go on some type of trip?
I did. Okay. So I did a retreat in November of 2017, but I just completed my training this year at Love Story Yoga in San Francisco. Stephanie Snyder owns the studio, and it was like this strange moment in my life where last year I was sitting on my laptop and I was like, I really want to do teacher training, but there's just so many teacher trainings out there. There's so many teachers. And then I didn't even know Stephanie. I knew she was based in the Bay Area, but I didn't know she owned a studio at the time. And I was just like on her website. And then I found Love Story and I was like, oh my God, like there's teacher training with Stephanie Snyder. Like, and it was just like this moment in my life where I was like, it was total light bulb. Like, this is where I'm meant to be right here, right now. And it was like all the stars, all the planets aligned. And I was like, I have to do it. So January and February of this year, 2018, I completed my 200 hour yoga teacher training with Stephanie and Jason Crandall and Susanna Friedman. And it was one of the most profound experiences of my life. I mean, it gave me a sense of community. In yoga, we call it our sangha. It's our family, our spiritual family. And I'll go to the studio now and see six people that I know. And it's just, it's indescribable. And I never got into yoga training to teach for money. I never want it. I feel weird. And I know it's a business now, but yeah. I feel weird charging people when I teach because I just love teaching.
Yeah.
So I didn't get into it for the money. I got into it because I truly love it. And I want to offer the teachings to everyone.
That's cool. So, that's yeah, it's fun.
But I did do a retreat in 2017. I went to Aruba to Rachel Braithen's studio.
That's how I found yoga.
On Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. So it was very cool. She's like a social media celebrity. Mm-hmm. It's weird because people treat her as such, but she's totally normal. She's totally chill.
That's what's weird about social media nowadays.
Yeah. Like, it's like you think there are these celebrities and really they're just people hanging out.
Yeah.
Buying vegan bacon.
Avocado toast.
Exactly. Yeah, avocado toast. Yeah.
I feel like the cool thing with you is that like everything that you came across like set you up to be where you're at now, and now it's like this is exactly where you should be. Mm-hmm. Like you see when I think chills. Of Katie Quayle, it's like she's like so in touch with the universe, and now she's teaching yoga in California and just like living her best life. But I think it's awesome because like you think back like when you were in Pittsburgh and struggling and everything, and like then you found Dustin again, and now it's like you're married and have a dog. Mm-hmm. And
it's so weird. We talked about that on the way down here. We're like, I wonder what it'd be like different if we did things differently. And we're like, well, yeah. I mean, everything worked out fine. So. Yeah.
Yeah. And every part of your life has like such an impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all there for a reason.
The good, the bad, everything.
Yeah. Like as you get older too, it's so weird. Like the change things and all that kind of stuff. Like things are bad. And when you do stuff differently, you know, it's that the experience of those old things teach you that new things aren't as hard as they seem.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like just a little, like I know, like when I moved here and I couldn't find a roommate, like I remember before in the past not being able to find roommates and be like freaking out, and I'm like, it'll happen, you know. It's like I'm literally not gonna worry about this because there's no point in it. So it's like same thing. Yeah. You know, like the little things that happened in your past that so now if it happens again, you know, you're like, mm-hmm. All
right. Well, I feel like every decision in your life leads you to exactly where you are right now, whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And but back to the small things like freaking out. One of the benefits of yoga, especially for me personally, that I've seen, like I used to get really bad, like road rage, not road rage, but I would just be very upset after my commutes every day.
Yeah.
And when I practiced, you know, over time, I'd be like, I mean, I was a very naturally high strung person. I was just like, always like, go, go, go. Like that. I think that goes back to my college days.
Uh-huh.
And how I'd freak out about everything and I would worry about everything. And I would worry about the future, and it just, you get to a point after practicing either yoga or whatever it is where you just realize like, why am I worried about the future? Because it's going to happen how it's supposed to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing. Yeah, sure. I can just do my best today, but that's all I can do. I can just do my best today, right here, right now.
Yeah.
And so to worry about the little things and to stress about stuff is just totally not worth it.
No. Yeah,
because yeah, we're human, we're here for a very short amount of time at the moment, and yeah, to stress your days away, I mean, it's just,
you can't live like that.
No.
Yeah, long term. No. Well, thank you for talking to us today. Yeah,
thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
A really good one.
I love it. Yeah. I'm a fan of it already.
And you'll be back. Don't worry.
Well,
yeah,
listeners, she'll be back.
Well, this Broken to Barwell road trip we keep talking about, is this going to be
a
cross-country tour?
Totally should.
I'll quit my job.
Go to Austin. Go to San Fran.
Oh, wait, I didn't say that.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, definitely. We should for sure link up either here or on the road.
I would love that. Absolutely. I love having visitors. Again. I was telling Sam, I love having visitors because I love playing tour guide and showing everyone like,
oh,
this is this. And
it's
this
so
is
much
this.
Fun. And yeah. At both times I've been there have been amazing.
Yeah. We've had fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks guys. Again, Katie. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you want to help us say goodbye?
Sure.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye.